When I was a young guy, I had headaches, awful. I mean, I can remember migraine headaches, oh my Lord. And after I received Jesus as my personal healer, the headaches went away. And probably a year or two before I had one. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. I received Jesus as my personal healer, and I don't even have headaches no more. And then one night, I mean, I come in and one of them hit me. By this time, I realize it's a demon. I go and take my shower, and I rebuke that devil of hell, and I tell him he's out of here. I said, you're not going to do this to me. I said, I am not going to have headaches anymore in the name of Jesus, because before, every time I'd get a headache, I'd go take a handful of pills. You know, Anacins or what, Excedrin or whatever, four or five of them, you know. And sometimes it helped, sometimes it didn't. But now then, I know what it is. And I kick them out. And I said, I'm going in there and go to bed. And when I wake up in the morning, I ain't going to have no headache, and I ain't going to never have another one. That devil fought with me till midnight when I finally dropped off to sleep. He hurt me so bad, so many hours, I couldn't go to sleep till at least midnight. But when I finally told him, I said, that's it, Buster. I am not going to have this headache when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to go to bed. I mean, I am already in bed, but I'm going to get a good night's sleep now, and you're out of here, Jack. In the name of Jesus, I have full power and authority over you. You cannot do this to me. I dropped off to sleep. I woke up the next morning, and I don't even know how many years ago that's been. I ain't never had a headache since. Not another one, but I used to have them all the time. We don't have to put up with this nonsense that comes from the enemy. Pain is from the enemy. It's a spirit of pain. But you don't have to put up with it unless you're sinning. If you're sinning, then you'll have to put up with it. For by that one offering he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. Is he making you holy? He's making me holy. He's working on me. He's working on all of us if we're his children. Verse 15 and 16. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. First, he says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts so that they will understand them, and I will write them on their minds so they will obey them. I've said this a lot of times. You get saved, and this happens to lots of people, young, old, middle age, everywhere. You get saved, and then you go back out and continue to live just like you always lived. You didn't get saved. If you had really gotten saved and become a new creature, who is it the Scripture said just moved into your heart? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in there now saying, you start to go out and tell a lie. The minute you start to meditate on that, there's somebody that said, Bill, you used to do that when you got saved now, son. You don't do that no more. That Holy Spirit's in there working now, isn't he? Yeah. If there is no Holy Spirit working, you can just go ahead and lie like you used to. No problem. There's no repercussions of no kind. If you call yourself a Christian and you're living in some kind of sin and there's nothing telling you what you're doing is wrong, you need to get saved. One time I was in a church, and it's a Pentecostal church. There's two or three pastors there. And they were talking about the problems they were having with their people. I mean, it was just amazing. The number of problems, and they were not really being very nice about this whole thing and everything. And so I said, guys, I'll tell y'all what y'all's problem is. They said, what's that? I said, you three guys need to get saved. They didn't think much of that. Three Pentecostal preachers. I said, you know, God, did God say we, especially us, as a pastor, we're supposed to love the brethren? We ain't supposed to be over here talking about them, saying how bad they are. We're supposed to love each other. But God didn't just lay that on the pastor, did he? Did he command you to love your brothers and sisters also? I mean, as Christians, that should be the easiest thing in the world, right? Should it be? It should be, but is it? Now, it's kind of easy to get off sidetracked, isn't it? And forget. We forget who we are in Christ. That's why I made that teaching years ago. Whenever I begin to see in the Scripture who I was in Christ, I'm a new creature. The old man died. I'm supposed to throw him away. Have y'all noticed how easy it is to resurrect him? Is it easy? Yeah. Somebody says, boy, I wish I could see a resurrection in the church. I said, just come to my church. You can see one every Sunday. Probably a half a dozen of them. Isn't that amazing that we do resurrect this thing far too often, don't we? Instead of leaving it dead. This is a new covenant I will make with my people. I will put my laws in their heart, and they will understand them. I will write them on their mind so that they will obey them. If you're really a born-again child of God, and if you renew your mind every day in the Word of God, it will become pretty easy for you to walk here in this place. If you don't renew your mind, if you renew your mind every day with the television, watching some of these terrible movies, and of course, young people especially, the young people that watch so many of these wicked shows. In fact, my own son, I was telling my son here a few years ago that he was letting his son watch too many of these Spider-Man and all this kind of stuff, cartoons. Oh, Dad, he said, they're just cartoons. I said, son, they're wicked. You need to stop letting Preston look at that stuff. Oh, Dad, you're just an old fogey, you know. One day he come to me and said, Dad, I guess you were right. I said, what do you mean? He said, Preston called up on the counter yesterday and jumped off with a knife and stabbed the dog. Where do you think he learned that kind of junk? Cotton picking television. Yeah. Got a steak knife, and they got a dog that's this big, and he stepped up on the counter and bails off, probably had his cape on and everything else, bailed off and stabbed the dog with a knife. They had to take him to the vet. He said, Dad, I think you're right. I must be letting him watch too much wicked television. I said, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Who would ever think a little five-year-old that's lost could do something like that? Hey, it's real simple. They're lost. Isn't that right, brother? They're just lost kids. And if they see that kind of stupid stuff, I remember one time I went to a movie and saw a Superman deal with a cape. Some of y'all laugh. Maybe you've done the same dumb thing. I go home, get a sheet, put it on my back and tie it around my neck and crawl up into the first section of the windmill tower, which is about 8 or 10 foot, and jump off thinking I'm going to be able to fly with that cape like to kill myself. I thought them guys in that movie, they lied. This don't work. They do a lot of things in a movie that don't work out there in the world. You know that? And I like to have hurt myself, I guarantee you, because when I jumped off of that windmill tower, it's a good thing I didn't crawl all the way to the top. That sucker was about 25 feet high to the top. I only went to the first level, which was about 8 foot. That's a long ways when you're just a little kid. You know what, Eldon? It sure did hurt when I hit the ground. That cape didn't hold me up at all. So I can understand how we can do such dumb things. Need to cut off the television. Verse 17 and 18. Then he adds, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds. When you come to Jesus and you're redeemed by the blood, regardless of what kind of sins you committed, how many of them does he say he washes away?
All
of them. So it's all, you're a brand new creature when you come to Christ. Get over it. You know, don't keep remembering the sins that you've committed in the past. Just don't go do them again. You know, you've been redeemed by the blood, and the blood washes you clean. There are all these lawless deeds and everything. Now, when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifice. If Jesus paid the price, you received the redemption on the cross from your sins, then every sin you committed when you... I got saved at 11. I don't even remember what sins I committed to the time I was 11. But every sin I had committed at 11 was forgiven. Now, if I'd have been 25, and when I accepted Jesus, every sin I'd committed backwards from 0 to 25 would have been under the blood, right? But now then, 25 years and one day, what happens to the sin I commit now? What do I have to do with that sin? I have to repent of that sin. If I do not repent of that sin, God's curse comes upon me. You will live under the curse. And of course, most people don't realize that their children, you know, your children, this curse comes upon your children. Since there's some of you here today that has never been here before, as you go out today, I'm going to tell you the last thing to finish up about these curses. I want you to remember as you walk out that door right there, look at that set of pictures on the wall. And there's 8 by 10 pictures of a little girl that's eat up with eczema. Eczema, I call it. Eczema, whatever. And then to the left of those, there's 6 more pictures of a little girl that don't have a mark on her body. That's the same little girl. But the little girl on the right was sick because of her mother's sin. Her mother wanted another child when she was 39 years old, and she went to her husband and asked him if they could have another child. And he said, he was 43, And he said, absolutely not, no more children. He said, I do not want a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. For a man, that makes sense. But for a woman, she wanted a baby. She was only 39. And so she promised her husband she would do everything she could to keep from getting pregnant. But she lied. She did everything she could to get pregnant. And then when she got pregnant, she said, oh, honey, look, it must be God's will after all. I tried everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, so I am pregnant, so it must be God's will for us to have another baby. So the baby was born sick. And the baby was born sick, and it would stay that way for 8 years until we found the problem. She was 8 when we finally figured it out. In fact, we didn't figure it out. I told them, the couple, I said, since we had tried every sin we'd known and we couldn't find it, I said, I want the two of y'all to pray and ask God what the sin is. What did y'all do that brought this sickness upon your little girl? And so they prayed for about 2 weeks. And then Sally, the mother, she sat up on the edge of the bed one morning, and this is what she heard. Lying and deception. When she called me, I said, Sally, do you know what that means? She said, yes, sir, I do. And she told me about when she was 39 and her husband 43, what she had done. And she said, I lied to my husband, and I deceived him. And so said, I got pregnant. And so she said, I said, have you asked your husband to forgive you? She said, I have. I said, did he? She said, oh, yes, he forgave me. I said, did you ask God to forgive you? She said, yes. I said, well, we know he did because 1 John 1:9, right? We know that if we confess our sin, he's righteous and just to forgive us our sin and restore us to fellowship. So I said, now then I can pray for your baby's healing. And she said, I don't want to pray for my healing, my baby's healing. Since I've learned it was my sin that made her sick and put all these scars on her body, I don't want her to be healed and have all them terrible scars all over her body. I want to ask the Lord to take away not only her sickness, but to take away her scars and give her a brand new coat of skin. That's what we prayed for. And in 2 weeks, little Jenna is the picture of the girl on the left. Not a scar or a mark on her body. Nowhere. She's beautiful.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Command the Beast to Leave, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you pre- and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and post-paid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.